Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. Tonight, we're going to give our brief thoughts on the Broncos game. AFC West expansion, per usual. We will talk about the Raiders and the Chargers. Chiefs have some offensive line problems. JP doesn't believe me. And should the Chiefs bring back Frank Clark? My name is Quentin Morris. Our producer, Thiz, is running the show. And now a guy who sometimes regrets having me on the podcast. It's the old man himself, JP.
What's up? You got your hair cut. The bangs are shorter. I'm happy about that.
It was a mess. It's a problem.
It was a mess, I must say.
Now we gotta trim this back. It's getting a little burly.
Yeah, well, you got the equipment to do it. So yeah. The hedge trimmer and everything, it should take it nice and clean. How's everything else going? Good?
Yeah. This is a crazy weekend of football. And I know we don't have time to get into all the games, but a lot of upsets and just a lot of bad offensive play, to be honest, including the Chargers. We'll get to them. We'll talk about them here in a little bit.
Yeah, I was happy about all of those games. I was pretty happy with most of them for the most part. Let's get into it. What's first? What's next? What's up?
Let's just start. Give your final thoughts on the Broncos game. I know it seems like so long ago, but it wasn't even a week ago. So just your final thoughts on the Broncos game now that you've had some time to digest it.
Well, first of all, Russell Wilson's bad. He's not a good quarterback. They don't have a good system. Sean Payton is not a good head coach, in my opinion. That's it. About 64 farts and a Hershey squirt. I feel like they, it was a practice run for us. And I realized this. I mean, I didn't think about it during the game. I was a little frustrated with some of the things that were going on. But then after speaking to a few people, the Chiefs were practicing. It was just a practice run. They knew what they had. And they wanted to see what they can get going, you know, whether it be trick plays or different things that were, you know, that they've been practicing during the seasons. They may pull out later on in the second half. But the Broncos are just a bad football team. And we have the absolute best secondary in football.
And if you look back at when Hackett was their coach, I know it's not necessarily apples to apples, but they had a better record this year, or at this point last year, than they do this year. The offense, yeah. I feel like it's really what's fallen off is that defense. And it's almost impressive how bad that defense has been compared to what they were last year. Last year, we were talking about a top 10 defense. And
top five, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it was an impressive defense, and they were almost like the Jets last year, where you had this great defense that was being held back by a crappy offense with, you know, very little, if any, great quarterback play or even good quarterback play. And then you were just trying to depend on a bunch of turnovers and hope that your offense didn't ruin the game for you. And now you've still got bad quarterback play, you know, sometimes decent quarterback play, and a defense that, I mean, it's just rolling over. I know they seem to step it up against Kansas City, but it's a divisional game. That's what happens. But it's just insane how quickly that defense has fallen off with a lot of the same players too.
Yeah. I mean, they made some mistakes, you know, when they got rid of Bradley Chubb, and they dumped off a lot of their great defensive players, Von Miller, you know, all those guys that they got rid of hurt them in a lot of ways. If this said I was frustrated during the game too, I guarantee it. But there's an impressive stat that I guess it's impressive for us, maybe not so impressive for Russell Wilson, but we held him to a 10.1 QBR.
Which, if he just sat there and spiked the ball for every down, he would have a higher QBR.
Correct. Here's the other thing is that until the third quarter, he had 18 yards in the air.
Yeah, I mean, he got a lot of those yards on that one drive, on that touchdown drive. That was aided by penalty.
Correct. I mean, it was just Look, I understand what a jack-off he is. I've talked to a lot of people that know he's just a – what's up, Will? What's up, Scott? He's just a jack-off in every way. I mean, Marshawn Lynch made it very clear, you know, for 2 years he never even got a phone call, didn't even have his phone number. He wouldn't give his phone number out to his own fucking running back. Other people have said this. It's not just him. A lot of people have said this about him. He's very arrogant. And I think that, you know, it pours onto the team. And the team is not going to – they're not going to stand up for him. I feel like if they right now had – who was that kid that stepped in for Geno Smith that was there before?
Drew Lock.
Drew Lock. I actually think Drew Lock would actually have this team with more wins and playing better than Russell Wilson does right now.
Yeah,
and I say that just because they would have more respect for him. The team would.
It's especially this year. It's not all on Russell Wilson. There are definitely some things that he can improve on. He's definitely not the quarterback that he used to be. You know, I do think that he needs to run the ball more, but it's not all on him this year as it was last year. Like I said, that defense is just atrocious. And even if you take out the 70-point game that they had against the Dolphins, it's still really bad. And then on the other hand, you can't take out that 70-point game because they gave up 70 damn points. That team is a mess. Couldn't happen to a better franchise. But here's
the
thing,
man. The highest scoring game they've had is 20 points. I mean, regardless of how bad your defense is, if your offense – there's been a lot of bad defenses that have won Super Bowls, okay? Because your offense – look at Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner had to throw for 50 points. I mean, he had to score 50 points a game because his defense was ranked 32nd in the league or 31st in the league at the time. So you have to have – I think a lot of the problem is that this team is just giving up on Russell Wilson, especially the offensive side of the ball, and the defense is starting to feel the same way. I don't know if they're as bad as they're looking on TV or they're looking on the field or if it's just they just don't give a shit.
I think part of the problem is, too, and this will be my last thought, I don't know if Sean Payton won the locker room over when he first got there. Look, when you're a head coach, even if you're a successful head coach somewhere else and you come in and you're coaching a team that has been bad for a while, you know, you need to win that locker room over. You need to prove to these guys that you're the man for the job. You can help them. They can help you. And you sort of get that rally behind the leader type mentality. Yeah. Andy Reid did that when he first got here, right? He came out winning, changed it up, traded for Alex Smith, you know, did things to help this team come out and win. And I mean, obviously Sean Payton hasn't done that, right? This team didn't come out and win, but not only did they not come out and win, they've just played poorly. And I just don't know if he ever even got the locker room behind him. And Sean Payton, at least, you know, from what we've seen, has a very, I don't want to say like my way or the highway type personality. And if it works when it works, but it doesn't work when it doesn't work. And I think just comparing it to like that Patriot way, right? When you see all these assistants leave to go coach other teams and it doesn't seem to work. And it's because, you know, when you have that sort of mentality, and then you don't immediately have success, then guys are not going to attach to that. Guys aren't going to want to, you know, run through a brick wall for you because you just aren't that guy. And I think that's what Sean Payton's running into right now.
Absolutely. And I will say this, and this will be my last comment on him. I noticed – I went back and I watched all 22 on that game like I do every game. And I watched the condensed version as well of that game, just to get an idea of certain things. He is an arrogant son of a bitch. When he calls a play, and at first when I was watching the game, I thought, okay, maybe that's just his face. Maybe he just looks like the Joker. I don't know. But then I'm watching, and every time he would call a play that he thought for no matter what was going to work, he had this smirk on his face. And he would look directly at our sidelines, and it was like he was staring directly at Andy Reid. And I'm thinking, okay, that play just, and every time it busted, it was a busted play. And I thought, well, that worked out well. That smirk did you no good whatsoever. Why are you smirking at a coach that is obviously 100 times better than you are?
A more successful coach.
More successful coach, more loved coach, and you're smirking like a child because you think you got something. You don't. You're a team that is going to go down with maybe 3 wins this year, and that's going to be the end of it. But anyway, moving on. I do want to say one thing, though. You know who else is reminding me of that? Yeah. And I can't stand this motherfucker. Is this Daboll guy with the Giants. I cannot stand that guy. Somebody said, oh, he's been successful everywhere he's been. No, he has not. No, he has not. I looked up his resume. He has not been successful everywhere he's went. He blames his quarterback, no matter who's in the game. A guy could run the wrong route. He blames the quarterback. Wide receiver gets hit in the chest. Oh, blame the quarterback. Let's scream at him on the sidelines in front of, 70,000 people and however millions that are watching. Let's just belittle the shit out of him every single week. That is not how you run an NFL team. And yeah, exactly. Daboll wasn't even successful with Kansas City. He is not good as a head coach. I do not believe he will be there next year. He is running every single player off is what he's doing. No quarterback's going to want to play for him. Nobody. He smiles because he was visualizing baby puppies. Babies and puppies. You might be right. It could have been the old water boy thing. But I don't know. I don't like that man. I thought maybe it was just a one-off with the Daniel Jones thing with us, actually. But then after watching every frigging game and he's yelling and screaming at the quarterback, no matter who it is, it's like, dude, you're never going to get anywhere with this team like this. Never. It's not going to happen. I don't know, man. I don't see him being there next year. I just don't see it happening with the Giants. I don't. But stranger things have happened. I don't know why they would keep him around when nobody's going to rally for him either, especially a quarterback. Nobody's going to take that shit. But anyway, he kind of reminded me a little bit of the way other coaches have coached in the past, and it's annoying. Moving on. He said they'll give him 3 years. This will think 3 years, huh? Well, I mean, if they do, that's insane. I mean, I don't know who he's going to get for a quarterback because nobody's going to want to play for the guy. If they give him 3 years, that's on them. That's stupidity on their part. Anyway, you're right. Real quick, there were some very interesting games. We are now tied with 2 other football teams at 5-1. The Eagles. And who else is it? Was it the 49ers?
The Lions.
The Lions
lost this weekend too.
Yeah, so it's the Lions, 49ers, the Eagles, and us. We're all 5-1.
Notice those 3 are in the NFC.
Correct. Absolutely correct. That was my next point. So graphic was put up saying who's the best team in the NFL right now. And they had, I think this was ESPN. And they had the Eagles number 1, the Chiefs number 2.
The Dolphins are also 5-1. By the way.
And the Dolphins are 5-1. But they were ranked 4th, I think. 3rd or 4th, I can't remember. I don't know. Look, I see regression in the Eagles. I don't know if you guys see it, but I do. They just went and picked up old man Jones. I've said this last year that I thought they would regress with the moves that they made and losing their coaches, offensive and defensive coordinator. You can see it on the field. And I've noticed it in every game they played, and I think they've regressed. People, if you're not paying attention to strength of schedule, then don't brag about your fucking football team. Because when you're playing the 29th, 28th, 27th, anything under 20th on strength of schedule or 20th and above, then you cannot judge how great your football team is when they're playing nobodies. If they're playing one-win teams, no-win teams, you cannot judge how great your team is. That's what happened to the Eagles last year. No, best defense on the planet. Best defense since the Bears. Blah, blah, bullshit. We made that very, very evident in the Super Bowl that that defensive line was not the best defensive line in football. Remember? No sacks, six pressures.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was, I mean, the Eagles were leading the NFL in sacks, but Kansas City was at number two, and at the entire conversation was, look at this Eagles defensive line, look at the how much they've, you know, they broke the record with the sacks, and then it was, there was no conversation around how Kansas City was doing, and I do think that, I do think that the Eagles are sort of on this regression, losing their, both their offense and defensive coordinator. Look, it's hard enough to lose one, you know, now you're losing both. And yeah. I know that, you know, they promoted within. And so you feel like the system should be the same, but terminology may be different. How a new coordinator wants to use guys is going to be different.
Put on a fucking t-shirt.
You know, there's going to be differences, and this Eagles defensive backfield is not as good as it was last year. They lost a couple guys. So I do think their passing game is more vulnerable in terms of if you can defend against the rush. I do think that the Eagles have some weaknesses. You can do what Kansas City did in the Super Bowl, which was go, you know, 7 yard in routes, slants. Let me throw the sort of in that middle zone area is where the Eagles are vulnerable. So as long as you can get the ball out quickly, which teams like the Dolphins have been able to do, then you're able to beat a team like the Eagles. They do have some vulnerabilities.
Absolutely. And I will say Jalen Hurts has not played as well as he did last year. Even with his injured arm, he's not played as well as he did last year. You said defenses are making Jalen's second game a little, or second guess a little. Absolutely. Absolutely, he's making him second guess. I agree. But I don't know if he's playing as well as he did last year. I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, they went out and they picked up Julio Jones, which is weird to me.
He's not going to do anything.
He's not going to do much for them.
I don't
know. You know, if you listen to an Eagles fan, he's going to be second on the depth chart, but there's no positive. And this is one thing that I want to say.
It's like Julio Jones and Justin Ross. You know, fans are excited, but it's not going to mean anything.
I don't like the way you're talking right now. But anyway, I will say this, and I am going to toot my own fucking horn for just a minute. I said last year that Nick Sirianni was not calling plays for that football team. He is not a good play caller. The offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator were doing all of that. He's just an arrogant bastard that likes to point down the field when he thinks he's got a penalty. And then, oh shit, that didn't actually happen. We didn't get our way. He's not a good signal caller. He's not a good play caller. He is seeing now that when you can promote from within, but those guys got a chip on their shoulder as well, and they don't want to use the same system that someone else used. So that shows you right there that these guys that were running the show last year are gone, and the guys that they brought up with the chip on their shoulder are trying their own little caveats and the things that they can do, and it's not working for them. And Sirianni he doesn't have an answer for it because he's not a good head coach. He's a guy standing on the sidelines with an arrogant look on his face. That's who he is. I don't know, man. I don't see – look, man, if you look at the NFC right now, and I will say it probably for the rest of the year, the best team in the NFC right now, sadly enough, is the 49ers. And I know you don't like Brock Purdy, but he's done a pretty damn good job except for this weekend. He's allowed to have one bad game. But they are the better team in the NFC right now.
Hey, look, they got superstars all over there. Now, once again, the injury bug has hit them, right?
It has.
McCaffrey's got a oblique. Debo Samuel hurt his shoulder. I know that their left tackle came back in, but, you know, he was injured.
Trent Williams got injured. and that wasn't a good thing.
He came back in, but you know, he's still injured. So we'll see what happens.
You
know, teams, this is a 49ers issue where they look great coming into the year, and then the mid time they come in and they all get injured. They all drop like flies. So we'll see. I don't have a problem with the 49ers. I do think they're super talented. I don't know how you look at this.
Well, you didn't like Brock Purdy.
But
you didn't like Brock Purdy. That's what it was.
I said, I don't, you know, if you take him, I don't understand how we can sit here and talk about how great the system is. And then when a quarterback comes in there and is successful, we just act like, you know, he's playing this top tier elite level quarterback when he's clearly not an elite quarterback and he's just a system guy. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. But think about it like this. If you look at his statistics since he started with, he came in to start. If you look at his statistics, his numbers are better than every other quarterback prior to him in the Shanahan system.
Yeah, because they have Christian McCaffrey.
I understand, but what I'm saying is it's not just Christian McCaffrey, but because Jimmy Garoppolo had Christian McCaffrey for a little bit until he got injured.
No, exactly. He didn't.
But I'm saying his numbers have been very good compared to other quarterbacks. So I don't think it's a matter of him just being – you know, this just shit quarterback. I think it's a product of a system and he's very talented when it comes. He's very accurate. He's very poised in the pocket. He doesn't get rattled very easily. And that's really an attribute for a quarterback as young as him that never thought he'd even hold a clipboard for the next 4 years.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
I'm happy for the little kid because he's doing things that probably never thought he would do.
Hey, and we'll see. Only time will tell because I'm sticking by it. And we keep talking about this. We're just going to keep running in circles because
you're right. But who do you think the best team in the NFC is?
So we'll see.
Who do you think the best team in the NFC is right now?
I still think it's the 49ers, but their quarterback is like the fifth best player on their roster.
I agree with that.
I'm not even convinced right now they're going to make a deep run in the playoffs.
I feel like they will. I feel like they actually got some depth this time. They just didn't know what to do when they lost two of their best players at one time.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I think they did bring in some depth just for that reason. I don't know, man. I look at some of these teams in the NFC and I think, God, you know, like, even the Cowboys that everybody was bragging up saying they were the best team on the planet, the best defense, the best this, the best that. They haven't looked the best the last 3 weeks. And Dak has looked like total shit. Now, this last game, he played phenomenal. I'm going to give him every bit of credit that's due to him. 272 yards. You know, I think he had a touchdown or two. He played very well this last week against a decent defense, not a great defense, but a decent defense. I'm not going to take that away from him. But I don't think they're the best team in the NFC. I don't think they're even close to being the best team in the NFC. I think they're probably the fifth best team. I think the Lions are better than them. And the Lions have had a really easy schedule except for us. And they played us with no Chris Jones, no Travis Kelce, and a bunch of rookies. And we went in there, to be honest with you, thinking it was going to be a cakewalk without those two guys, and it wasn't. So a shit ton of penalties and unwarranted penalties on us. We had 10 penalties in that game. I think 8 of them were on Juwan Taylor. So I don't know, man. I feel like San Francisco is probably the – if I was going to rank them right now, I would say San Francisco, probably the Lions – then I would go to maybe the Eagles and then the Cowboys if I'm going to rank the NFC teams right now. But, again, like you said, that can change next week. So we just don't know. The NFC is so fucking volatile, you'll never know what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, speaking of the Chargers, let's move on to our next segment, the AFC West expansion. We don't need to talk about the Broncos, so we usually go in alphabetical order, but who cares about the Broncos? Plus, we already talked about them. So let's talk about the Chargers. I don't want to talk specifically about the game coming up because we'll talk about that more on Thursday. So just general thoughts on the Chargers is sort of what we use this segment for. Overall, the Chargers have a losing record. They are third in the AFC West. Here's something crazy. The Chargers have they have scored 127 points and have allowed 124. So they're plus in terms of the amount of points they've scored and are, you know, a game under 500.
Yep, they're 2-3.
Look, the NFL is a weird place, but I think this is how the Chargers play. I mean, this is what the Chargers do. If Kansas City wins on Sunday, they will have a 3.5 game lead over the Chargers.
Yeah. You know what this is a product of? This is a product of Brandon Staley.
Yeah, I still think Brandon Staley is a bad coach. I do think there's been a lot of talk about, you know, is Herbert that guy? Is he? And I still think he's a top 8 quarterback in the NFL.
Absolutely. Now,
I do think that there's some crazy stats coming out about this. He has the most fourth quarter interceptions since entering the NFL. Yeah. And he has 13 fourth quarter interceptions when it's a one score game. So there is something to be said about, I don't know if he has like that gene that, you know, I'm going to lock this down type deal. I don't know if he has that, but he's still got all the physical attributes. And I think that he has a broken, I think it's his middle finger on his non-throwing hand.
He's got two broken fingers. Yeah.
You saw last night that when he was going to the ground that he avoided like falling on that hand. So I do think that hand is bothering him, but he's a tough SOB. He's got a higher pain tolerance than I can even imagine. So I do think the Chargers have a lot of talent on their team, but once again, it just seems like Justin Herbert and that offense can't exactly figure it out. And
I'm not gonna blame him.
Their head coach puts him in these horrible spots.
There's the answer.
On stupid fourth down when you could just kick a field goal, and look what happens. You lost by 3 because you're going for it in field goal range. It's almost like they just – like, why even have a field goal kicker?
Here's the thing. He is not in control of what he does on that field. If they let him loose a little bit and let him do his own thing, I think that – interception ratio would be a lot different. I don't believe it's his fault. Is some of it his fault? Probably. But I don't think it's all his fault. I think he is controlled to the point where he can't make his own decisions on the field. And it's his fourth year in the league, and they're still not allowing him to go and do what he knows to do. Look, it's a bad system. It's a very bad system. They went out and they took what's his name from
they got the guy from
the Dallas,
which I mean it's fine, but there were a ton of problems with Dallas's offense last year. Like, I will say this on that first touchdown pass to Keenan Allen, I think that's the first time I've ever seen the Chargers use motion in the red zone.
Yeah,
I mean seriously, motion is being used in the NFL for the last 4 or 5 seasons by every team. I think that is the first time I have ever seen Keenan Allen put in motion from the left side of the field, come across, you use a little pick move, and Keenan Allen is wide open on the side. It's a 1-yard touchdown pass. That is seriously the first time I think I've ever seen that. And that's the sort of stuff you have to scheme up to get into the end zone on the goal line, and they are able to do it. Maybe they grow off of that. Maybe it's a fluke. But this is why I think that the Chargers, I think you need to just completely get rid of that staff. Brandon Staley is a defensive head coach, and he's the defense done. Is awful. It's been awful. It's never been good under Brandon Staley. You brought in an offensive coordinator from the Cowboys when the Cowboys' offense was the problem last year, and you think that he's going to be your saving grace just because your quarterback is better, and it's not because – that Dallas offense was built off the run game, and you have Austin Ekeler, but Austin Ekeler is a receiving back. So it's just like the decisions being made over there for the coaching staff from, you know, top to bottom is stupid. And, you know, I'm happy because it's the Chargers, and the Chargers are going to continue to charger, and that makes my life easier because there's a real chance that the Chiefs basically lock up the division on Sunday, having a 3.5-game lead.
Absolutely. Heading
into week, what, 7? Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. So,
yeah.
And you don't face the Chargers again until the final week of the year, and by then, Blaine Gabbert could be getting the start, and we could be having, you know, setting up for another AFC home game. So
yeah, here's the thing: Brandon Staley's a very egotistical type of guy, so he wants to be the head coach and the defensive coordinator. Which is fine,
but you have to be good at both.
Exactly, that's my point.
Kyle Shanahan is the head coach and the offensive coordinator,
but he's good at both. He's good at it. Brandon Staley is not. I don't even know if he's good at either one of them at this point.
No.
I've been saying this since he became the head coach, that he's going to be on the hot seat within a year, and he was. He blamed it on his offensive coordinator, brought in
Kellen Moore.
It was driving me crazy trying to think of his name. Brought in Kellen Moore to supposedly fix this problem, but yet Staley is still the one calling the plays. Kellen Moore is supposed to be the guy that is calling these offensive plays, and then you've got Staley overriding them. And that's not a good thing. And it's hard for a fourth-year quarterback that it got used to one offensive coordinator, then went to another one, now a third one, and you expect him to learn all of this shit in an offseason and come out banging. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So that team is terrible in a lot of ways, but most of it is coaching. I think they would be a lot better football team if someone else was running the show.
And look, but we know that when the Broncos come to Arrowhead, it's going to be a tough game, right? Kansas City's not going to blow out the Chargers. It's not going to happen. And like I said, we'll get to this later in the week, but Justin Herbert's going to play tough. Keenan Allen will have a stupid fade route touchdown that'll be like 35 yards. Yeah. And like, we know how this is going to go. So, you know, we'll shit on the Chargers and the decisions that they've made over the offseason. But this is not going to be an easy game on Sunday.
No. It's definitely not going to be an easy game. I mean, any divisional game is going to be tough, no matter what. The one thing that they have going for them that the Broncos didn't have going for them is Sean Payton has never played against us. Brandon Staley has. Now, yeah. Kellen Moore hasn't, really, you know, for the most part. So I don't know what good that's going to do them or not. But Staley makes a lot of rash decisions. And a lot of fourth, you know, he wants to go for it on fourth down. They miss those. It's just there's so many mistakes and miscues on the offensive side of the ball. And then you got a defense that's not doing so well. Hey, man, I mean, it just is what it is. But it will be a fight. It's always a fight, especially at home. I don't know what it is in the Mahomes era, but we have not scored as well at home as we do on the road.
It's funny.
I said this for 4 years, and when I first started saying it, people said, "Oh, you're fucking crazy." And then I brought the stats up, and I said, "Well, here's, you know, our 3-7 point wins at home versus our 35-point wins or 30-point wins or 24-point wins on the road against the exact same football teams."
Yeah.
So
Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have not lost a road game, AFC West road game since he's been the starting quarterback.
No.
And they've lost 2 to the Chargers and 1 to the Raiders. So
he said it is. It's just a division that knows us best, and he's right, 100%. Staley probably doesn't want a kicker. He just has to have one. Absolutely. I mean, look, man, when you're in that situation, 3 points is better than nothing. And when you know it's not working, but you think, okay, well, it's got to work the next time. It's got to work the next time. And it doesn't work any of those times, you might want to use your fucking kicker.
Yeah, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Correct. And he is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, right. by that definition alone, he's absolutely insane.
So, let's move on to the Raiders, who are surprisingly second in the division They are 500. Here's an interesting. They have scored 100 points. They have allowed 131. So they are minus 31 points despite being at 500. I still believe this team is going to fall apart. The Raiders, I don't believe in their head coach. I don't believe in their quarterback who went to the hospital after the game with a back injury. And so I think – I don't even know who
– wish I had put a bet on that.
I told you that he wasn't going to last. And
I said he wouldn't last five games. He was out game three, and now he's out game five.
Yeah, so
– I wish I would have put a bet on it.
There's – the Raiders are – I still believe are going to be a mess. I know they're sitting at 500, but that loss streak is coming. I'm not scared of the Raiders. Devontae Adams and Max Crosby are the only reason to watch that team because they're both still electric. Max Crosby against the Patriots had that sack in the end zone for a safety, which just was so impressive. That man is a beast, and it sucks he's stuck in Las Vegas. But
he's happy there. That's
I don't have any thoughts on the Raiders other than, they're a bad team with a couple of superstars, and eventually they'll fall apart. That's it. Yeah, that's all I want to talk about the Raiders.
You're 100% right. I mean, look, nobody likes Josh McDaniels. The team is kind of tired of him. Devontae Adams, I guarantee, is still going to win out by week 8. If he sticks around for any reason whatsoever, it's because the Raiders are just going to flat out tell him, sorry, we're not trading you. But there's no possibility he wants to be there. Josh Jacobs is not playing up to his level that he played last year. Just not a good football team. So Jimmy Garoppolo is a terrible quarterback in so many ways. Most of his issues is just he's made out of the same window material
that they use for that sphere on the strip.
Yeah. It's exactly what it is. He's like a gummy bear. I mean, he's just one of those things.
No, because gummy bears are flexible.
Yeah, but you could squash him like nothing.
He's like the porcelain teapot that your great-grandma has in the china cabinet. That's what he's made out of. Like, you keep it away, and you don't touch it, because if you breathe on it, it'll fall apart.
Agreed. What's up, Philip? Now, Will said something. He said, have you noticed the last two games the Chiefs have played the Chargers on the road, Joey Bosa gets tired at the end of the game, especially when Mahomes' game-winning drives at the last 2 years? You're right. He does. And by the way, he got injured during this last game. I don't know if anybody noticed that, but he got up really slow and was limping around a lot. So he may not be 100% going into this game Sunday. Khalil Mack, I'm not worried about him whatsoever. But and you're right. Well, Drew Tranquil will be ready for the Chargers. He's wanting some.
I've got some thoughts on that, but we'll save that for Thursday.
Yeah, he's definitely going to want a little bit of that action. But anyway, moving forward, what's next?
I think the Chiefs have some offensive line problems.
I'll stay.
I am not talking about the interior three. Okay, so this whole conversation, Creed, the guys, out of it. Those are not involved in this conversation at all. I am specifically talking tackles.
Okay.
Smith and Juwan Taylor, I think, are problems. And I think it has to do in the run game, but also in the pass game. So I know Kansas City and other fan bases have problems with PFF. But one of the things that I do respect that they do is their grades for their offense and defensive line. Juwan Taylor has a grade of 60. Smith has a grade of 56.3. If you notice, Kansas City is not running the ball on the outsides. They are not getting any of those jet sweep motions, which I think is a part of the offense that I think would help try and open up some of the stuff further down the field. On the season, Kadarius Toney has five carries for negative 2 yards.
I don't like that play.
I don't like it because your tackles aren't very good. That's my point. My point is that you're not able to your tackles have not been successful in blocking on the outside for the run game and have at times struggled to do it in the pass game. Now, Patrick Mahomes is fantastic in the pocket, and so he avoids a lot of those sacks and helps make those tackles look better than what they actually are. But Donovan Smith, you know, that was kind of a risky pickup because, you know, he was coming in, he was a little injured, he's older. So, you know, he's good in the pass blocking, but we knew run blocking was an issue for him, and it seems to have bled over into his pass blocking a little bit too. And Juwan Taylor, you know, he was really good pass blocking. His run blocking was also kind of a question mark, and it also seems to have come in and affect his pass blocking. But you've got such a strong interior that, you know, you don't have to worry about your tackles as much because you're able to double team some guys, and Kansas City hasn't faced a ton of elite outside pass rushers yet. So I think that the tackles, if they don't fix what they're doing, Kansas City is going to get a ton of pressure and will not be able to run the ball outside the tackles for the rest of the year. And I think that if you can't make the defense move sideline to sideline, defend every blade of grass, as it were, I think that's also part of the problem as to why Kansas City is not able to beat man coverage, because those corners, those slot corners, don't have to stay home a little bit. They can immediately just go back in their pass coverage. So,
makes sense.
And I think part of that, and most of that, is Kansas City, Andy Reid, are not trusting their tackles to make their blocks.
And I tend to agree with you on most of those points. I have seen Pacheco break some outside runs, you know, on the edge. And a lot of that's just because it's Pacheco. But, and Clyde, even weirdly enough, broke one, which I was kind of surprised, on the left side, but, or on the right side, I apologize. But I tend to agree with you in some aspects of that. It seems like they, and I don't know if it's a gelling thing. I don't know if it's a, you know, Taylor's had his issues with, you know, lining up and, you know, the whole thing that went on with him and the refs. And they finally ended that when Andy just said, here's the film. But I do agree with you that they need to shore up their line a little bit, at least the tackles. They need to figure something out there.
You're right. Now that you heard my explanation, you don't hate it.
Makes more sense. It makes more sense. I don't hate it. They are, weirdly enough, because of the interior, they're still, what, top three in the league?
Oh, yeah. The offensive interior line is three is kicking ass and taking
off. Oh, man.
Like, don't get me wrong. Tooney, Creed, Trey, these guys are moving grown men, okay? Yes, and some of the biggest men on a football field. I got
two at a time sometimes. So
it is the two guys on the outside, more so Donovan Smith than Juwan Taylor. But I do think that, you know, one of the things that's being overlooked is that these tackles, man, I think are seeing struggles. And if you think about the teams that we faced outside of the Lions, you know, with Aiden Hutchinson, who's the pass rusher that's like, you're just like, man, this guy's coming to town. We got to get ready for him. They haven't faced that guy yet. They haven't faced a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett, right? Now they're going up against a Bosa brother, you know, this coming week. I just think that the tackles might be a part of the problem that Kansas City is facing. Just something to keep in mind.
And it's true. And then, you know, Thiz brought up a good point too, is that is part of the reason why they can't get separation. And also, and I agree with that. And one thing that I've noticed too is Mahomes hasn't scrambled outside the pocket as much as he normally does this year. And when he does, these guys aren't, the wide receivers aren't used to doing what a Kelce does, finding an open spot and just sitting down. If you can find an open spot and sit down, then you're good. But these guys aren't used to that yet. And they're trying to get their feet underneath them with this style of play with Mahomes. And I understand that. You know, when we struggled last year with Orlando Brown Jr. and Wiley, for that matter, Mahomes was moving a lot more getting outside the pocket. He had wide receivers that were adapted to the way he plays the game, and he was able to get the ball downfield because they see him struggling, they go find an open spot and sit down, similar to what Travis Kelce does. Juju did that a lot last year, which we haven't – I mean, I think, to be honest with you, I think Rice is the best candidate for that guy that is finding those open spots or trying to learn that the fastest and find those open spots and just sit down and wait for the ball to come to you. And that's where I think a lot of their struggles are coming from. Mahomes is not I don't see the scramble out of him this year that I saw last year.
Yeah, I think the only game that he really did that was against the Jets, and that's because they were playing a lot of that deep man coverage, and so there was just no quarterbacks by, so he was able to go down the field.
Correct.
And, I just think that – I think it is a problem, and it's something that I noticed. It's something that I sort of thought about just looking back at some of these games, and – I think the interior has played so well, we just forget about some of these tackles.
And sometimes it's easier, you know, and you're right, it makes the tackle look better when they can lean on the interior guys. It does make them look better. So people aren't seeing the real picture to a degree. I agree with, you know, Rashee Rice did easily replace Juju. I don't know. I mean –
I think he's on the path to. I don't think
he's absolutely on the path yet.
I need him to be able to play more on the outside than just as a slot guy. But I think if anybody has the ability to, I do think it's Rice.
Yeah, he's very multi-talented, very versatile guy.
Yeah,
he's every week he's getting better and better.
And I think that's the key. Our last topic is going to be: should the Chiefs bring back Frank Clark? I have a feeling that.
They are.
I know how you feel about it, and I don't think they should.
I'm not going to say they shouldn't. I'm going to say they probably are. Everything that I've heard was that they want to bring him back, and they're trying to work through some things. Shit. But
here we go again.
But I have a feeling you're going to see Frank Clark back in a Chiefs uniform.
Look, if it happens, I'm not going to be upset because I do think that you can probably get some play out of him. I do think that there is a role that you can use for him. He's good as long as he understands that his role is 12 snaps a game and he's the, you know, you're just the third down guy. You got to remember, Kansas City's getting Omenihu back against the Chargers. So
yes, he is.
You're already taking snaps away from other guys. And this is he needs to understand what his role is going to be. You left, we've got new guys. So you're not the Frank Clark of 2022. Okay. You're the veteran guy we're bringing in during the season to fill the role. So he needs to understand that. It's going to be a, you know, vet minimum salary or incentive based salary. And he's already making $7.5 million off of this team anyway. So
plus what he's made from the Broncos so far. So
yeah. So this is not, this is going to be him trying to come back and win another ring and to be a rotational piece and, you know, sort of a, just in case somebody gets injured on that defensive line. So I wouldn't hate it. You know, I wouldn't come on the show and say, ah, this is a horrible decision. Why are they doing that? But I also, if they don't do it, I'm not going to be upset by that either. It's a very,
well, I will say this, what I did
this
here,
emoji, that's how I feel about it.
Here's what, this is kind of what I heard. Unless Frank somehow gets a better offer somewhere else, and it have to be a really good offer. It's the only way he wouldn't be a Chief again. And Chris Jones has some input on this. Chris Jones wants him back. And if Chris wants him back, and they can figure out a way of extending Chris Jones on a team-friendly deal and a Chris Jones-friendly deal and bring back the guy they want here or that he wants here, they're going to do it.
They have $3 million in cap space, so they don't need to move any more money around to make something work. Mm-mm. But
now, here's something that we got to think about. Justin Watson is probably going to be out 2 weeks. I don't see it going three. I know Ian Rappaport said he was going to be out 3 weeks. I don't think it's going to be 3 weeks. But he's been very reliable. He's been really our saving grace to some degree.
Before the Broncos game, he was the leading wide receiver on the team.
Yes, he was. So we have to – I know Andy is very adamant about not bringing back another wide – bringing in another wide receiver. I don't know how this is going to work out with McColl yet.
That's one I don't want.
Well, don't be surprised if it happens. I'm just saying. I don't know if it will or won't. My opinion, I would like to have somebody that knows our system a little bit better. But in the same aspect, I would much rather see them give Ross more opportunity on the field.
I would much rather see Rice take up some more of those snaps. I'd like to see Sky Moore try and take up more of those snaps. You already have a bunch of guys on this roster that you're trying to develop. And to, you know, it's not like Watson was getting a ton of snaps anyways. In terms of like your number one wide receiver type of snaps, I would much rather those snaps go to somebody that's already on this roster and somebody you know you need to develop. So I don't want to bring anybody else in, much less a guy that can't see the field up in New York. I'm good on that. That's one where I would be a little upset if they brought back McColl Hardman. Plus, okay, you're going to have to give draft assets up to go get. No, I want my fifth round pick.
You saw his numbers last year with us, right?
I mean, he missed a ton of time with injuries, so they weren't.
I know, and he still had 7 touchdowns. And he missed pretty much 3/4 of the season.
Yeah, but a lot of those touchdowns were like little pop passes and stuff.
He had pretty good yardage, too, though. I think he had pretty close to 600 yards.
Have Kadarius Toney do that. You know, I can get Jerick McKinnon back involved in this offense to get that.
I agree. I'm just saying he's not as bad as everybody wants to make him out to be. It's a New York thing there right now, and Aaron Rodgers played a big part in it. I don't care if they bring him back or not. I would much rather him not be here just simply because of the fact that I would like to see Ross get some more snaps. And I know that they're going to progressively put him in the game as the season goes along. They're easing him back into the system, making sure he's not going to have any more injuries. Or the injuries that he does have will be, you know, we're not going to reoccur. So I know they're going to keep involving him as the season goes along. And they need to because he's a good wide receiver. He runs great routes. There's one knock that they've had against him that I've been told is that he doesn't have that instant burst of speed. He's not the quickest guy, but he never was. They brought him in knowing that. Because he wasn't that quick when he was in college.
Well, but he was a backup plan to Tyreek Hill.
I understand. But I'm just saying they brought him in for a reason. They signed him injured for a reason. So you're paying this man to do nothing. And not giving him an opportunity is not helping him in his game whatsoever. He has to have some opportunities, and they have eased him in a little bit more. He's gotten a few more snaps each game that we've played. And I feel like after the bye week, we're going to see more of him. But I think we might see more of him during these 2 weeks that Justin Watson's out.
I need to see more Kadarius Toney.
I would love to see more Kadarius Toney.
That's the thing.
But he's got to get open.
Yeah, he's got to get open. That's the problem. That's the biggest problem with this wide receiver core right now. I would say some of it's on Sky Moore for not developing, and I would put the majority of the problem is on Kadarius Toney. And maybe it's because his toe still isn't fully healed. Maybe there's another issue that we don't know about.
But I'm not saying it's fully healed.
Kadarius Toney has to become the number one wide receiver. We heard all offseason. That is, Kadarius Toney's our number one wide receiver. He's going to be that guy. Y'all wait and see. Kadarius Toney's going to blow the NFL on fire. So many teams are going to hate the fact that he's a Chief. And he's gotten here, and it's been crickets. So,
well, he did get injured twice. Not just his toe. He was injured once before, too, during the season. But it wasn't major, but it was enough to keep him sidelined a little bit. I feel like Toney has a ton of potential. He's very fast, very agile, very quick on his feet, got a lot of football speed. He reminds me of that joystick type of player that, you know, pretty hard guy to bring down. I would like to see him get more involved, but he has to get open. And what you said makes sense.
I know.
But also, here's the thing. You have decoys out there for a reason. Okay, I mean, Travis Kelce gets open because of other players on the field and the fact that he's so fucking smart. Tony's not a dumb player, but when other players aren't utilizing or they're not able to utilize Tony because of other players, you know, even a Sky Moore for that matter, or even MVS for that matter. You know, MVS last year was that deep threat guy that everybody had to worry about and make sure was covered. And right now, none of those guys are getting separation. Of course, in the Broncos game, they got separation, but to a degree, more than they had in previous games. But they have to get more acclimated and be able to open themselves up, find a spot. If they're covered up, move. Get out of the way. And I noticed this, and I don't know if you've noticed, Quentin, but they haven't ran the plays that we ran last year when you had a three tight end set or a three wide receiver set on one side. We haven't run a ton of those. And when we did last year, we were always able to get separation for someone. Somebody was always open. They're not doing that much this year. And that's a little bit concerning to me because that was part of our game last year and our ability to be able to get a wide receiver open downfield, whether it be MVS or whether it be Juju, whoever it may be, but we're not doing that as much this year. And I don't like it because that was kind of our bread and butter. I don't know if Andy's just saving that shit for later on down the season.
Maybe.
Or if it's just, maybe just it's a trust factor thing. I don't know what it is, but when we used to line up Juju, Sky Moore, and just say Justin Watson on the same side of the field, and then you had MVS on the other side of the field, and then maybe Noah Gray. It always seemed to be that somebody, at least two or maybe even three guys had separation. And then you always had Kelce lined up there as well. But this year they're not doing that as much, and it's a little bit frustrating. And Phillip's right. You do have to get the running backs involved in the passing game, and that's something that we're not doing as much this year either. I mean, McKinnon was involved from game one to game 17 last year and in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's not been nearly as involved because they're fucking putting Clyde in. Clyde is not a
week good. Six. Not good. Okay. Week seven is coming up. I'm still not. I see the panic button. Like I've said,
I'm not hitting it.
But I see
it. I just want them to open it up.
I think we're going to get a big test here when we go and play in Germany. I think that'll be the biggest test when we face the Dolphins and that high flying offense. But up until then, we've got two more games, one against the Chargers, one against the Broncos. We will talk about the Chargers on our show on Thursday. So make sure you join me or join us there. It'll be me, JP, and Caleb. And JP, I believe you have something to say about PSF, and then we will get out of here.
Have you guys joined the PSF app? If you have not, get on your damn phone, type into your app store, PSF. It's going to come up and it's going to say Pro Sports Fans. Type it in, download it, and then join and follow us in the Chiefs fan page. If you do that, you're able to get live audio and video it's a live game cast during the game. It's better than listening to Joe Buck's ass and Troy Aikman because they bore you to tears. And then you got Al Michaels that sounds like he's chewing tobacco all the time. We get into it. We get loud. We get obnoxious to a degree. But you're getting real live fan, not censored content. And you can get in on the action. You can talk. You can even pop up on the screen if you want. Type in the chat all day long. If you want to join, join the chat, join the video. We're all for it. But it's live every week during the season, during the playoffs. We have special people. We've had Boo Boo Smith on. We had another player on. I can't remember. He played for us back in the day. Can't remember who it was right now. Working on some other guys that are going to join. We're going to have some live analysts that join with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we actually have power rankings or fan power rankings. If you get a power badge for the fans, then you're in on an opportunity to win one of the things that are behind me. And everything back there, with the exception of about four things, is signed. So if you want to get in on this, get in on it. You can't, it's not going to cost you a damn thing, and you're going to have a lot of fun doing it. That's all I got to say about it. PSF. It's in the right, it's in the top corner of our screen. So make sure you join. And with that being said, we'll talk to you guys again on Thursday. Peace out, everyone.